from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Do 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 do.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And my guest tonight, you guys are going to love this. I ran into a holistic veterinarian. And so before I introduce him, let me do my my usual sponsor ID, which is really, really important. And as you know, our wonderful sponsor is Hydramay Skin Nutrition, which is all natural, organic. And not only that, it's inexpensive, which is really important nowadays. So if you haven't tried it, please do try it. It's great stuff. And I'm very grateful to Hydramay Skin Nutrition for being the sponsor of this show. Okay, now we have Dr. Tim Patterson on. And he lives kind of up in my area, kind of a neighbor, not quite in Sedona, but over there in the Payson area, has a mobile veterinary practice. And welcome to the show, Dr. Patterson.
Thank you.
I think that this is going to be fun for a lot of people. I know I have a lot of listeners that have their best little animal friends, and as I told you, I have two little furry friends of my own. So before we go into all of the listeners' questions, how about if we start with a bio? Tell the people about yourself, what got you interested in taking care of animals, and especially with the natural medicine part.
Okay. Well, I grew up always I was always interested in animals and science, and always knew what I wanted to do from the time I got into high school. Started working for a veterinarian, and then went off into pre-veterinary medicine, and the rest is kind of history from there as far mm-hmm. as the veterinary part. The alternative, obviously all that comes after you graduate from veterinary school.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated from Purdue University in 1987. In 2000, I took the International Veterinary Acupuncture Society basic acupuncture course. And from there, I've just continued to blossom into more advanced acupuncture. Then the following year, I took the chiropractic. I've taken an herbal course and some homeopathy short courses. I'm not certified in homeopathy, but I do some. Mm-hmm. And I also treat a lot of patients with a soft laser, so mm-hmm. I have that in my arsenal too.
Well, and I think that's really important to mention because, listeners, you have to know that when I found out that Dr. Patterson was a vet and was doing natural medicine, I said, how do you acupuncture cats? And he rolled up his sleeves and showed me all the scratch and bite marks.
My acupuncture.
You forgot to mention to the cats that they were supposed to receive it.
Right, right. Yeah, so a lot of the cats, I end up using just a laser to acupuncture the points or to stimulate the points. There's many different ways you can stimulate the acupuncture points, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
But I got interested in the alternative when I was involved in an auto accident 19 years ago and went through all the Western medicine, physical therapy, all that, and nothing really worked. Acupuncture and chiropractic and laser is what healed my back, my neck, and my shoulder. So it reaffirmed my interest in the alternative, and like I say, from there I just took a lot of courses, done a lot of seminars, I'm on the board of directors of the International Veterinary Acupuncture Society and the board of directors of the American Academy of Veterinary Acupuncture. I've helped teach part of the basic acupuncture course in the past, and I've also lectured at their International Congress. So that's pretty much about me.
I find that really fascinating because I have been looking for a holistic vet for my cats, because there's a lot of things that, that the more allopathic guys do that I don't like. You know, first of all, I don't want to vaccinate my pets. And secondly, I don't like that they go straight to medications. And as I told you, I ended up giving a homeopathic intravenously to my cat that they thought was going to die within 24 hours, and he bounced back. But they wouldn't give it to him. And that kind of stuff that really disturbs you, because our pets are just, I mean, they are a family. And so they're just as important to us as our brothers and sisters and husbands and wives and moms and dads. And oftentimes we spend more time with our pets than we do with family members. So
very much so.
Yeah. So and I'm sure that you've had to deal with your share of wacky people that are going crazy about the problems with their pets. I've seen enough of that just bringing my cats in. But to be able to do something like acupuncture and homeopathy to bring instant relief to a pet without drugging them is such an amazing thing. And so I'd like you to address that a little bit more, if you would. Like, what are the kinds of things that you can do with acupuncture?
Okay. Well, when I practiced on the East Coast for 18 years, and then I moved out here to Payson. I've been here almost 3 years now. But it's very typical when you first start out, you get all the cases that everybody's given up on that they can't do anything else with until you start, developing a rapport with the other veterinarians and showing them, you know, what you can do. I treated everything from acupuncture. I normally use a combination. It just depends on the case, but acupuncture is excellent for any kind of musculoskeletal issue, soreness, stiffness, lameness, arthritis. It's also very good for internal conditions. I treat kidney failure in cats, liver disease, just about anything. Usually in a combination, though, when you get into the internal type problems, usually that involves more than just acupuncture. Usually those end up going on some sort of herbs or homeopathy or laser. Laser is very good at stimulating organs to heal. So
now, when you use the laser, are you doing it on the acupuncture points, or are you doing more like the kinesiology points?
Both. I will treat acupuncture points with it, and I also treat even just areas like joints and things like that. And most of what I treat acupuncture-wise and laser-wise is because I can feel the energy of the animal and where it's deficient. It's one of those right brain things.
Excuse me while I gasp. And the whole audience gasps, too. A veterinarian is actually admitting that he feels the energy. I love it.
Yep.
I got to tell you right here, I have done some strange things in my life. I had a cat that really needed an enucleation, or for the listeners, a removal of the eyeball. He was diabetic. He came to me and told me about 6 months before he died that he was leaving the planet. And I said, "What do you want me to do?" And he said, "Nothing." And so when this eye thing started happening, I took him into the vet, and the vet says he's diabetic, and I'm not going to do the enucleation unless you give him the insulin. I said, "I'm not doing that." And he said, "What? Why?" I said, "Because the cat told me he's leaving in 6 months. Why would I stop him when he's already got his plans made?" The vet looked at me like I had just grown another head. I was like, "Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. The cat's happy, doesn't seem to be bothering him. He's telling me leave him alone." And, you know, sure enough, he just was happy as anything. Everybody in the neighborhood fed him. He looked like he swallowed a light bulb. And he wandered off and died. And then he came back to me in this present cat that I have. So I love that you feel the energy and that you can relate with the pets that way. Now, the next question, of course, is, are you telepathic with them?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you're...
Oh, sorry. Are you telepathic with the pets?
Somewhat. Not. I don't hear, you know, in words, but I get this innate feeling. So, I mean, it's not an actual communication per se, but it is an energy-wise.
Well, you know, I do the same thing with my patients. I tell them I'm not a medical intuitive, but I just know where it's hurting, and I know what the problem is because I feel it in my own body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that a lot, too, particularly with animals that are sore and lame. I if their shoulders bother them, when I walk in the room, my shoulder will start aching. So.
Yeah, I love that. I think that that's one of the best ways that you can really tell, because there's no missing that communication. So that's quite interesting. I do have a question from a listener. This is kind of off the subject a little bit, but she wants to know, how do you get your puppy to stop eating fecal matter?
The first thing I would try is some Adolph's meat tenderizer in their food. And what that does is when they eat it, it's bland, but when it comes through their system, it makes the stool taste pretty awful. I'd try that first. It's usually a dietary issue, and I deal more with diet than anything else, because the commercial diets out there are so deficient and so poor, most of them. And usually when they start eating foreign objects, it's related to something they're missing in their diet. It can also be that particular instance somewhat becomes a habit. It's not unusual for a puppy to do that, and then it becomes a habit to them. So sometimes you have to try the Adolph's to break that cycle.
Interesting.
But the other thing, it would be looking at the diet.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like pica in people then, where they're missing minerals.
Exactly.
And so they start eating all kinds of weird things.
Exactly.
Interesting. So is there a good mineral supplement out there that people can get?
Probably the most well-rounded supplement that I've seen on the market is called Missing Link.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in dog formula, cat formula, bird formula. So that's the most well-rounded one that's out there. There's a lot of other different... there's a good vitamin mineral supplement made by Thorne. It's called... For dogs, canine mm-hmm. basic needs is mm-hmm. a very good one.
I love Thorne. Of course,
yeah,
that's one of the companies that NaturePaths do quite a lot of business with, which I don't know if you're familiar with the way that it started, but the guy that started that company did it to be a thorn in the side of the pharmaceutical industry.
No.
And then, truly, that's why it's called Thorne.
Well, they're a very, very good company. All their products are very consistent. I get consistent results with them, and unfortunately, they're talking about withdrawing a lot of the animal products from their lines because they're not selling enough of it.
So, oh man,
it would be an unfortunate loss if that happens. They had several really good herbal formulas. One I used to like. For kidney problems, Renagen, and they've already taken that one off the market.
Oh, man. I wonder if the human versions of these things that they have are similar to what you would use for animals. Of course.
A lot of the products I use are human products. I mean, most of the herbal products I use are human. The Chinese herbal products are formulated for humans, although there is a Chinese veterinarian. He's a third generation Chinese. He's the first veterinarian. His two generations before were human practitioners. But he's now in Florida, and he has his own herbal line, and he directs it more towards the animals. So we do have more and more companies that are now.
Mm-hmm.
There's more and more companies now that are producing specific lines for the animals. And that's tremendous.
Well, I think that it makes sense, because I can tell you from treating human patients that they will go take care of their animals before they will themselves. So,
yeah, I get that a lot, too, when I tell someone that they have to cook for their animal, and they'll be, I don't even cook for my husband, but I'll cook for my dog.
Yeah. I can believe that. And I remember when I had cats when I was in California, I was cooking for them every day, and what they got every morning was oatmeal that was half oatmeal, half tuna, and had garlic in it. And then I'd throw them like a half of a Cornish game hen once a week, and they were so funny. They'd be running around the apartment, you know, with this what looked like a huge leg in their mouths going, grrr. Those little suckers were so healthy. I did the whole natural pet thing, you know. The two cats I have now, they have no clue what something alive is. They'll kill it, but they won't eat it. And the minute I try to give them raw meat or something, they look at me like, what the hell is this? So I kind of worry about that. But I got them when they were adults, so they don't quite understand all that stuff. I've had enough different types of pets that I know that the natural diet really, really works.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've even there's several really good holistic diets out there now that are very good, and when I switch animals over to them, a lot of their times their problems, their particularly skin problems, will go away. Skin allergies. I've had dogs that were breaking out in pustules all over, and just switch the diet, and they all go away. I mean, as you know, the skin is the largest organ in the body, and when they're detoxing, that's where it shows up. So,
what about all the tumors that so many dogs get?
Yeah. When their liver's overloaded, it starts showing up in their skin. So.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I see a lot of people feeding all this commercial stuff, and I keep telling them they need to throw the raw meat at them and things like that, give them a bone. And I've had so many people tell me, oh, well, you know, my vet says no, all of their meat should be cooked. I don't believe that, but then I'm not a vet. What do you say about that?
Well, you just have to be very careful using the raw diets. You have to make sure you're, a reputable source. If you're, if you're buying it from a source, there's a couple different ones out there. If you're going into the grocery store and buying, you just got to be real careful with the E. coli and salmonella nowadays. Because the animals are susceptible to that too.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's a conditioning. Sometimes in the beginning they'll be sensitive to it, and then their system adapts. I mean, that's what they eat in the wild is raw meat.
Yeah.
But there are several processed holistic foods out there that are very, very good. Canine caviar, Life's Abundance, Wellness, Pet Guard. Those are usually the ones that I recommend.
Okay, would you repeat those again? I'm sure people are writing those down.
Oh, sure. Wellness is a very good one. Canine caviar is what I feed my dog, and my cat eats the feline caviar. Pet Guard is very good, and Life's Abundance is made by Dr. Jane Bix, who's on NBC. That's a very good diet.
Cool. Well, thank you for that, because I know people are always asking me, and I just kind of shrug. I tell them, does it say DVM anyplace in my initials? I don't think so.
Well, like I said, the two biggest things I deal with are diet and over-vaccination from other veterinarians. So, and then, if you can detox them from that and get them on a good diet, and I'd say over half your problems will go away.
Yeah, the vaccination issue is something that I'm very concerned about with our pets, because I've seen our pets becoming just as sick as the people. And with all this crazy vaccination that's been going on, I mean, I know in the people arena, there's a whole lot of vaccines out there that nobody should ever get. And,
right.
I have a lot of people that always ask me about that. And, like, Tamiflu is one of the worst things that you could put in your body. And, that's something that I absolutely am totally against. And plus, I am very much against all the babies being vaccinated with all these things. And I've seen too many reports of pets with vaccinations developing these cancers right where the vaccinations were. So, I'm not a big fan of that kind of stuff. What do you think they really need?
Yeah, well, that's more important even in cats, because they can very easily develop vaccine-associated sarcomas at the injection site, and that has to do with the antigen load, too much antigen in one spot. And but my general recommendation is that puppies and kittens get their pretty much normal series. There's a few viruses that I don't vaccinate for, like in dogs, I do not vaccinate for corona. It's not a real disease, and sometimes it cross-reacts with the parvo, so I don't vaccinate for corona. But distemper, hepatitis, parainfluenza, and parvo, I'll do that series. They need a series of at least three, and then I booster them a year later, and then after that I do titers. And I don't vaccinate them unless their titer drops.
Mm-hmm.
And I've many patients that have gone 10 years without needing vaccines. And the same thing
makes
with
sense.
The cats.
Yeah, that makes perfectly good sense to me. One of the things, besides what I did with you know, my medical stuff, I was an RN for 30 years. And I can tell you that working in the ER in an ICU, you know, they will pretty much give you a tetanus vaccine if you got something that looks a little bit dirty, no matter when you've last had it. But they started doing studies on this stuff, and they found that if you have ever in your entire life had a tetanus vaccine, you will not die from lockjaw. And if you've had one like in the last 10 years, you won't even get that sick. And so...
Yeah.
So they kind of, you know, started changing things at that point, because there's so many people that get serum sickness from that stuff. So I start looking at that and going, well, the pets are not that different. So then you start wondering.
Oh, yeah, I see a lot of them that it may not be. You do see the allergic reactions that you see immediately within an hour, but I also see, you know, pets that have had a reaction a week later. They're just not right, and they might have diarrhea or vomiting, and I've even had some of them that have been in pretty much collapse a couple weeks after their vaccination, and of course the other veterinarian says, no, it can't be related to that, it's too far, you know, but it
doesn't that just drive you crazy?
Yeah, and I can tell you myself, I was vaccinated when I was in veterinary school for rabies, and they, at that time, were recommending you get revaccinated every 5 years. Well, when the 5 years came up, they had changed it to 10. And I just had my titer done last year, and I graduated in 87, so 22 years ago, and my titer's still good.
Wow.
So,
well, I can understand that. I got vaccinated for hepatitis because I got stuck from a needle that was... first injected into a drunk who was really filthy and had been hit three times by cars, and the guy missed the guy's artery, and after he got it, he missed getting the blood and then turned around and stuck it right in my vein. So I got the first it was awful. I got the first hepatitis vaccine, and I still show that that I have positive hepatitis B titers.
Yeah.
And it's not supposed to be that way. So, I think that we need to, you know, stop the craziness with all this virus stuff and, you know, get things to be a little bit more sane, you know, because I...
Yeah,
I think
the only vaccine that I routine, because I have to by law, is the rabies, and that has to be every 3 years. So, in order to comply with the government... Although in a very sick or an older animal, we get around that.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, I've had, you know, things happen with my animals. I've had a lot of cats. I've had horses and dogs and fish and even caterpillars and turtles and what else do I have? Oh, crickets. I had pet crickets. And, you know, you get bored when you can't have any pets. And so I've had quite a few different things myself, and... it's been interesting, you know, to see what's happened, and I always get into a fight with the allopathic vets because I instinctively knew it wasn't right to be giving all of these shots to these animals, and I could see that they weren't doing as well. You know, and a few things, of course, you know, you want to kind of vaccinate them against the whole, you know, feline stuff, you know, if they're outside. But, like, my guys aren't outside, so I don't worry about it so much. I think we might have a caller. Do we have someone on the line, Seth? Maybe not. I thought I heard a little beep there. I do know that we have a listener who wants to ask you some questions about her dog. She had a beautiful little teacup chihuahua that passed away last year. So I am not sure if she's on the fast chat, and she wants me to ask you about this dog, but she's not telling me what she wants to know. So so Carly, you need to type that in there.
Intuitively, no.
Yeah, it's like, type it in there. What exactly do you want to know? I can tell you that when I was out there, I traveled around the country doing this quantum vortex thing, which is a zero-point energy field, and the animals love it. Wherever we were, anytime the animals were missing, we would look for them, and they'd be clustered in the beam of the zero-point energy. And we were talking about the electromagnetic energy in that, but this is completely different. And she had this little dog, little cute dog, just a precious little thing. And we walked in and looked at this dog and said, oh, boy, she's not long for this world. And, you know, she hung out underneath the whole apparatus and was in this energy field. And then at one point, she had wandered into another room when we were all in there, and we left. She was asleep. All of a sudden, she started screaming and hollering like she was dying. And the other dogs got all excited and ran in there, and her owner went in there, and I was so tired I couldn't get up, and just got her, and everything was okay. And the next morning, I came out of the office, and I looked at her, and she distinctly let me know that she had a problem with her heart. I said, wow. And so we worked on that, gave her some CoQ10 and perked her up and everything, but she did pass away like the month later. So one of the things that I thought was going on is that she woke up, saw that nobody was there, and thought she'd already crossed over onto the other side. I don't know if you've had any experience with pets doing that that you knew about, but let me just ask you, have you?
No, I don't. I'm not aware of that, but I'm sure it happens, just like in people.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of an interesting thing. I hadn't experienced that. You know, I've had pets die in my arms, and I've had weird stuff with that with my alien cat. And that's a whole other story. We'll talk about that some other time. But you know, I mean, most of them, they pass, you know, fairly quietly. And I know that Carla had said that when she brought her little dog into the vet when she had passed, there was something about the eyes and something about if they die with their eyes closed, that they are really happy and they know that they're loved. I thought that was really interesting. I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I haven't heard that either.
Yeah. And so I, you know, there's, of course, everything that you can learn every day from all these things. But I found it really fascinating in that I'm seeing more sentience in the pets in the last couple of years. And I don't know if you've noticed that, but, I mean, I don't see, you know, sick animals all the time. I see normal animals. I see bugs, you know, and things like that. We have a lot of bugs out here, as you probably know. And mm-hmm. And what I'm noticing is that everything seems to have stepped up the sentience a few levels. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have to be a lot more careful with how we're treating our pets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you talk about the, you know, the zero-point vortexes, because there's a very interesting product that I use that actually comes from the vortexes out in the ocean. And they go down 150 feet down to where the whales are feeding and re-energizing before their migration. And this product, I've had dogs that looked like they were just about to check out, and you give them a shot of this energized water, and they just perk up, and certainly it helps most of them.
Wow.
But the, Yeah, it's seawater from the vortex, and it has all the micronutrients. It has every element on the periodic table in it, in almost homeopathic concentrations. So I think that that's a big part of how it helps them, is because it's re-harmonizing their system as far as the elements go.
So like nanoparticles of the minerals.
Yes.
Very interesting. What, is there a commercial name for that people could obtain?
Yeah, it's called Quinton, Quinton. And it's actually started, you can Google it, and you'll find that it started in France back in the 50s, I believe. And the government was giving it away free to treating particularly children with dysentery and cholera, and we're getting tremendous results with it just orally. And eventually it got taken off the market by the pharmaceuticals industry, and it's now come back, and it's still produced the same way. And it comes in actually two forms. One's the hypertonic, which is the directly out of the ocean, and then they do dilute it down with into an isotonic form that has been given intravenously to animals. There's one particular study that's on there that the dog had practically bled out, and they replaced its blood volume with the Quinton, and the dog survived.
Wow.
So not only replaced the volume, but it was able to oxygenate and everything. So,
holy cow.
It's pretty tremendous, and I use it a lot in acupuncture points that are deficient, and I get at least tenfold increased response than I would with just a plain needle.
Now, that's really interesting, because I do something similar. A lot of times I'll put different tinctures or homeopathy on the point and then stab it with the needle. And a lot of times that'll make a huge difference, especially if I hit it with a laser, too. So that makes perfectly good sense to me, and I've even done it where I've created kind of crystal wands with different minerals in them with special water, and then hit that with a laser. And that, I've had some really interesting stuff happen with that, including one lady that actually levitated off the table and went into exorcism right as I was holding her head in my hands.
Yeah. Well,
it's like, okay.
You can actually take a lot of the homeopathic and this Quinton, and if you just take your laser and laser right through it, and then you take the laser will go from a pinpoint to a longitudinal, and if you just take that over their entire body and wave it back and forth a few times, you'd be amazed what you see detox out of people and animals.
Wow. And what nanometer laser are you using for that? Are you using the red, the 635 nanometers, or...
Yeah, you can just take an actual laser pointer that you pick up at the drugstore and
cool.
laser through the homeopathic, and it works.
I love it. Thank you for that tip. All those animals out there are just blessing you like crazy right now because, you know, with the economy the way it is, people are having such a hard time. So that is really a great tip. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
I will also take things like Zeal and Tramiel and laser them into joints and just laser through the vial right into the joint.
Well, and it makes sense. And for the listeners that aren't sure of what we're talking about, they are homeopathic products that we use quite a bit. Tramiel is something that you use anytime that you've had trauma to an area or to help it to heal. And it's a homeopathic, which means that there's seldom any of the actual molecule left in there. It's an energetic substance. It's kind of like quantum physics medicine that was created 200 years ago. and the energy is transferred by a thing called succussion, which is where you hit it 100 times for each dilution. And so what you're doing is transferring the energy into there, and this is really the medicine of the future. So to be able to take a laser and to point it through there and to have it do that kind of an effect, that's amazing. And wondering.
Yeah, the laser.
Go ahead.
The laser just picks up the energy of the homeopathic and carries it right in. And so it's a way of putting that substance in the body without a needle.
Yeah, I like that a lot, especially for those of us that would do do-it-yourself veterinary stuff, except that we don't know anything about our animals. That's why I still take mine to the vet. I had one of those things where 1 year I decided, well, you know, I can give shots. I'm going to give my cats their shots. Oh, my God. I had no idea that when you give a cat a shot, its skin is like old leather, and it makes that scrunchy sound, you know, as it goes through. I was horrified. I didn't know they were that thick-skinned, you know. And so I kind of...
Well, it also helps, too. I always... when you draw up the vaccine, most of those vaccines are lyophilized or dehydrated, and you have to rehydrate them. So when the person drawing up the vaccine sticks that needle through the rubber plunger, draws up the diluent, then sticks it through another rubber plunger to reconstitute it, I always, when they're done drawing up the vaccine, change the needle to a new needle, and they're much sharper.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I do that. But it was just, it's such a different feel than putting it in human skin.
Yeah, they're a lot thicker skin.
Yeah, you kind of get the idea why cats are so tough, you know. I had to laugh at myself, though. I was like, oh, my God, I can't do this, you know. Whereas I can slap needles into people, you know, all day long. Doesn't bother me at all, you know, and they usually don't even feel it. But the cats, you know, they stayed still. It wasn't like they were jumping around, but I thought, wow, that is just amazing. And I know I've done a little do-it-yourself veterinary stuff on my animals when I've needed to. And I always thought, you know, I had one vet that was doing veterinary chiropractic stuff, and I had horses, and he'd come out and he'd pound on this one horse every once in a while. And the horse seemed to like it. And I guess that would make sense if he's pounding the bones back into place where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. There's a lot subtler ways to do that, though.
Well, I had to laugh at that cat I told you about that was an alien. I could tell that he probably needed a chiropractic adjustment. And when I was in medical school, I had this friend who was a chiropractor. And he was young, and he was pretty aggressive, and I said, hey, would you come over and adjust my cat? And he said, what? I said, well, I don't know any vets, and, you know, I'm a starving student at that point, so I couldn't afford to take the cat in. I said, I think, you know, if you could just come and check him, I'd really appreciate it. So he's running around the school asking all the other chiropractors, do you know which way the facets on a cat's spine are oriented? And they're looking at him like he's crazy, you know. So he comes over to the house, and he puts the cat on his leg, and he says, I can't believe it. This cat's just laying there. I said, he's a sentient cat. He knows what you're doing. He wants some relief. Help him. And so he's going along, and all of a sudden he does a little adjustment, and there's this big pop, just like a person, you know, and the cat just sighed, and he went right to sleep. And we put him down on the floor, and I had to leave for the weekend, and so I kind of wanted to let him know I was going. He didn't even wake up, and I had a friend I sent over there later to check on him, and she said, he was still asleep. I said, was he okay? And she said, yeah, he was fine. She said, I had to wake him up to feed him. And that cat just loved it. Every time the chiropractor came over, that cat was right on his lap. I thought that was so funny. But, you know, it makes perfectly good sense.
Well, they get an endorphin and cephalin high, and so they always love it when I do it.
Yeah, I bet. I'm going to call you the next time I need to have some stuff done with my cats. I've been trying to, you know, keep them healthy, and, you know, well, they're inside anyway after the last little episode. But I think it's so important that they are in alignment, although I know that cats pretty much keep themselves in alignment by their stretching. But the other things, like, you know, as they age, they're just like people. And so, you know, we're all looking for ways to keep our little friends with us, you know, as long as possible. And I think it's wonderful that you're doing this, all this different stuff with the pets, because, you know, people keep asking me and I keep going, I'm not a vet. Now I can say, you can call Dr. Patterson.
There you go.
Yeah. Ask him your questions about your pet, because I don't have a clue. You know? I don't even know which way the facets on the spine are oriented on the cat.
Doesn't matter when you do an energetic adjustment.
Ah, yes, that would make a difference. Yep. They're pretty neat little creatures. So tell us some of the great, wonderful stories that you've had with using this natural medicine on animals.
Well, probably one of the most remarkable stories I can tell you is when I was in Pennsylvania, I was working on this gal's cat that was in kidney failure, and the cat was doing fine. And well, one day she comes in with the cat, and she says, will you look at my sister's dog? And I'm like, sure. So she brings in her sister's dog, this little pug, that had a intervertebral disc that was 3 years old. This poor little pug had been dragging his hind end around for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, can you help him? I'm like, well, I can help him, but I don't know how much. Well, by the sixth acupuncture treatment, he was standing up, and by the eighth treatment, he was walking normally.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
it
is
even
amazing.
Impressed me.
That's totally amazing. So what was the cause of all that? Did you know?
He had a disc that had blown out.
Wow.
And yeah.
I didn't
he
know
was
that
totally
that
paralyzed.
Yeah, I didn't know that when they blew out the disc it would totally paralyze them. Unless it was up higher.
Yeah, it depends on what degree of disc rupture they have, and this was a class 4, so he was totally paralyzed behind and just happy as could be pulling his hind end around, but
oh.
We made him a little more functional.
Yeah, dogs got to run.
Yeah, I have numerous disc dogs that are now walking. I mean, acupuncture is as successful in most cases as surgery or even more so. In fact, I get a lot of dogs that have had disc decompression surgery and still aren't walking, and then we acupuncture them and they get up. And the lasers also helped with that tremendously, because it you get an immediate decrease in the swelling in the cord just from the laser.
Wow.
So,
well,
yeah,
I know that animals are like kids. They respond much quicker to energetic medicine than adult people do.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe it's because of the mindset. You know, they don't have the belief system that nothing's going to work.
Right. I had a gentleman that he was backing out of his driveway, and his 1-year-old Australian Shepherd ran behind him, and he ran over him.
Oof.
And he brought him right in, and the dog had basically no, didn't even have deep pain behind in his hind feet, and which normally would indicate that the spinal cord is severed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in his case it was mostly just severe swelling.
The shock,
yeah. But while we were running fluids to him, I started lasering his back, and he started got his deep pain back immediately, and within about 15 minutes was moving his hind legs, and and just continued to progress from there. So the laser itself is a tremendous tool there.
Man, well, you know, I have one of these little lasers that's it's a pocket laser. It's got the red laser, and then it's got the ultraviolet light, and then it's got the white light. Have you done anything with the ultraviolet?
No, I haven't.
It's really interesting. Yeah. You know, I've been experimenting with that because they're finding now that LED will work just as well as the laser on some things. Of course, it doesn't have the distance, and it's more spread out. But, you know, they have all those light tools now that are just, you know, big packs of LEDs, and they're combining them with sacred geometry to do some really interesting things. I have one friend that makes a Stargate light that I took around on tour, and on his purple one, you can absolutely feel the change in your nervous system immediately just by standing under it. This combination of the sacred geometry with the light. So I'm very interested in all the light therapies and where we're going with that, and particularly with animals, because you can't tell them, stand still, I'm going to poke a needle in you, you know?
Right.
And they're going, I don't think so, Bubba. Yeah, so
well,
the
first laser I had was just a, it was from Germany, and it was just a, I think it was a $500 laser, and it, but it also had the magnetic resonances of the 8 Noger frequencies, and I used to see tremendous results with even just that little laser. For a horse, I'd have to, you know, treatment time was quite extended, but I mean, I could sometimes even laser points on the horse's hind leg without even getting, you know, down underneath the horse and see a result. So laser's a pretty powerful tool.
Well, I could have used that back when I had horses. What do you do for Proud Flesh?
I use a product that's an herbal combination that'll kind of eat some of that flesh back, and then I laser them. And you can see once you get the edges down, and I laser it, you can almost see it contracting down as you're lasering it.
Wow!
And it'll speed the healing 2 to 3-fold.
Now, see, I could have used that years ago when I had a horse that had Proud Flesh right at the withers, so we couldn't put a saddle on him and had to ride him bareback all the time, which out in the desert is not really a good idea because you can end up in a cactus, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little uncomfortable, but, you know, I'm so glad that there's so many different things now that we can use for our little animal friends, and I bet that the people up there in Payson are pretty happy that you're there. I think there's quite a few people there that are into the natural means, just like there are here in Sedona.
Oh, yes, there are. And the word gets around quickly.
I bet it does. Well, I wish you all the success in the world. And we got about 5 minutes left, so why don't you give your contact information so people can get a hold of you and maybe ask you if you know anybody in their area.
Certainly. My practice is... Holistic Veterinary Services. The phone number is area code 928-951-5261. And the address is 1000 North Beeline Highway, Suite 148 in Payson, Arizona, 85541.
Great. And if you'd give your phone number again, please.
Area code 928-951-5261.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you agreed to come on because I was so thrilled when I met you. And you know, my friend was looking at me like, why? You know, he's in Payson. You're not going to take your cats there. And I said, no, it's more than that because I have wanted to have someone come on the show who could speak, you know, intelligently about this, not somebody that was just, you know, had taken one little acupuncture class and, you know, didn't know anything about homeopathy. I really wanted someone who could help the listeners have some hope for their pets because most of my listeners are very much interested in the natural and they don't believe in allopathic medicine at all. And so, you know, it comes a time, of course, when you have to use it, but I know that they really appreciate hearing what you've had to say tonight. And as I mentioned to you before, I'd love to have you come on the show now and then and you know, maybe talk about cats 1 week and talk about dogs another week and horses another week. And, you know, let's get some real information out there that can help people take care of their animal friends a little better.
Most certainly.
Yeah, so that would be great. Okay, well, it looks like we answered most of the questions that were on the fast chat. And don't be surprised if you get phone calls, you know, for the next several months, because the archives are up, so, you know, people will listen and then go, hey, that's pretty interesting. So we have been talking with Dr. Tim Patterson of Holistic Veterinary Services, and he is a holistic or natural veterinarian. So we've been talking about the different things that you can do to help your pets naturally and mentioned several products there. So if you tuned in on the end, make sure that you do go back and listen to the archives. And we'll have Dr. Patterson on again to speak more about what we can do to help our animal friends and all these great products that are out there that are natural. So, Dr. Patterson, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it, and have you back again soon. And, listeners, we have been brought to you by Hydromay Skin Nutrition. And thank God for them. They are wonderful, and their product is wonderful, and you know I love it because it's organic, it's all natural, and it works. Oh, yeah, and it's inexpensive. So those are some things that are very important points nowadays. So if you haven't tried it yet, please do. And until next week, as always, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night. Time to awake from your sleep.
Hey, everybody. This is Nancy Drake. I am the star of science fiction show Lex the Dark Zone. Well, I hope you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's show on bbsradio.com. See, well, if you want to do Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy.
Health Science and.
Oh, what was it?
Health Science and.
Health Science.
Just say you're listening to Dr. Bell's Health Science and.
And Energy.
Health Science and.
Energy show?
That works. In fact, I can
edit. Health, Energy, and Science show.
Health Science and.
We just call it the Dr. Bell show.
Okay, well, that's what I did.
Same thing, only a little shorter. Yeah, same thing. Health Science and.